This is a commercial-free archive edition of our live radio show that airs every Friday at noon Arizona time on OpenMinds.tv.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host, Alejandro Rojas, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network. Alejandro has been a UFO paranormal researcher and journalist for nearly a decade and has logged hours in the field investigating the paranormal up close and personal. And now Open Minds Radio presents evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomenon. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello and welcome to Open Minds Radio. This is your host, Alejandro Rojas. And today we have a great guest. We have Robert Salas. He was at Minot Air Force Base. He was an officer. He's a retired captain. When UFOs went over this nuclear facility and the nukes were turned off, some of you who are very familiar with UFO history already know about this, but this is the guy who was there. So we're really excited to have him on and talk about that. He's got some other aspects that he's looked into or that he's involved with also that he will tell us about. In fact, you may know about the Condon Committee. This was a group of people the Air Force hired out of the University of Colorado to investigate UFOs, and they debunked the whole thing at the end, although they had some great investigations inside of the case. In fact, it's one of the rare cases where scientists actually declared this large object that was taken, there was a photo of in McMinnville, Oregon, was actually scientifically proven to be some large metallic object in the sky that nobody knew why it was there. So there was some great research to prove that UFOs were real, but for some reason they still debunked the whole thing. Well, Robert has looked into their investigation to the Minot Air Force Base nuclear incident, and he has some information to share with us about that. So I'm excited to hear this. Also, him and researcher Robert Hastings have been getting together because Robert Hastings' specialty is to look into cases where UFOs have been around nuclear facilities, and they are putting together a press conference in Washington, D.C., where they're going to let the press know about this, and they're going to be having highly credible witnesses there, all retired ex-military, to talk about their experiences witnessing and seeing this kind of stuff. So real excited to have him on today. He's a friend. He's been to the office quite a bit. He listens to the show. So we're excited to have him on. We've also got some news, some big news for the show. We're moving time. So we're actually going to Monday evening. So Monday at 9 p.m., we will be live, including this Monday and a few days from now. In a few days, we're going to have Michael Luckman. This is exciting. It's Rock and Roll Stars and their experiences with ETs and UFOs. He's written a book on it. He's the authority. You might have seen on our website recently that we wrote about Sammy Hagar and his experiences. So we'll talk about him, John Lennon, Michael Jackson. The list goes on and on of famous musicians who have had experiences. So that'll be Monday at 9 p.m. here, Pacific Arizona time. Arizona changes between Pacific and Mountain. Right now we're on Pacific. So you can join us at openminds.tv to watch us live at 9 p.m. We keep reiterating because it's a pretty big change. And actually, many of you have been asking for the show to be longer, so we also have done that. And the show will be an extra 3 minutes longer, and we're going to pack in a lot of good stuff in that 3 minutes. So check us out. The last thing I want to mention before we go on to the news is Vision Quest Bookstore. Come and see the Open Minds researchers, editors, and other exciting people talking about UFOs at Vision Quest Bookstore tonight at 7 p.m., and that's 2225 North Scottsdale Road. So if you live in kind of the southwest region, you still have time to jump in your car and drive out here if you're in New Mexico or Colorado or something like that. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be Arizona people. So that'll be a lot of fun talking about our magazine, which is out in the bookstores, and we've got our second issue coming up. It'll be out June 1st in the bookstores. Exciting. You can pre-order it right now at Open Minds TV. But without further ado, let's get into the UFO news. We are your UFO news source, and we post on openminds.tv all of the news headlines on UFOs that come out. We've got Jason McClellan, our news correspondent, to share the latest with us. Hello, Jason.
Good afternoon, Alejandro. Hello, Phoenix, and hello, world. This is your Open Minds news brief for Friday, April 30th, 2010. In the news this week, humanity should be doing all it can to avoid contact with extraterrestrials, at least according to Stephen Hawking. In a new documentary for the Discovery Channel entitled Stephen Hawking's Universe, the theoretical physicist mentions that alien life is almost certain to exist in many other parts of the universe. He suggests that aliens might come to raid our planet for its resources, and to justify his thought, Hawking simply states, "We only have to look at ourselves to see how intelligent life might develop into something we wouldn't want to meet."
Yeah, scary stuff. And, there are a lot of ufologists that feel that way, even though there's a lot of people in this field that are upset with what he had to say. But Zachariah Sitchin, who's very popular, the Sumerian documents talk about that kind of scenario and others. So who knows?
There are a lot of people upset with what he says. There are a lot of people who agree with what he says.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting to hear him actually come out and say this.
Yeah, make big news.
Yeah. The Stephen Hawking's Universe begins May 9th on the Discovery Channel. Hawking created quite a stir with his comments about avoiding contact with extraterrestrials, but NASA doesn't appear to be worried at all. At a press briefing Wednesday, Mary Wojtek, a senior scientist in astrobiology at NASA's headquarters in Washington, said, "Within NASA's programs, our approach to the solar system exploration has been that we are prepared to make discoveries of any type of life, any form, and we're prepared to make these measurements using the latest techniques in planetary protection." Now, that is fascinating. I don't know what planetary protection means they have, but it makes me think of Ronald Reagan and Star Wars. And
yeah, what are they not sharing? Maybe we have a cloaking device around the planet we don't know about.
They must have something because they're not telling us.
I liked one of the headlines which said something like, "NASA's ignoring Stephen Hawking and they're going forward with contacting, or trying to anyway." So that's kind of funny.
In other NASA news, NASA revealed evidence this week of life on Mars. Data was recently collected by the Opportunity and Spirit probes sent to the Red Planet that show the likely presence of a form of pond scum. Pond scum, Alejandro, the building blocks of life as we know it.
That's where we all came from.
Previous Mars missions have gathered evidence of sulfates, which indicate the presence of water on the planet. Methane has also been detected in the Martian atmosphere, hinting at the possibility of life on Mars.
Mm-hmm. So when I call you pond scum, it's not like I'm trying to be a jerk or anything. It's just, that's where we all come from. That's our origins. So don't take offense.
You can start calling me pond scum if you like. And in entertainment news, it looks like Indiana Jones will be trading in his whip for a six-shooter and a horse. Harrison Ford has been added to the cast of the upcoming big-screen adaptation of the comic Cowboys and Aliens. Iron Man director Jon Favreau confirmed Ford's addition to the film via Twitter post. Cowboys and Aliens is based on the 2006 graphic novel and features cowboys and Indians battling aliens who land on Earth in the 1800s. This will be Harrison Ford's first strictly science fiction film since Return of the Jedi in 1983.
Looks interesting. Should be good, hopefully.
Hopefully. It looks kind of goofy, but it should be fun.
Yeah.
That's it for the news, Alejandro. Remember to check these stories and more at openminds.tv, your source for UFO-related news. I'm your Open Minds news correspondent, Jason McClellan, and you've been briefed. Back to you, Alejandro.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, some other interesting things that I think have been going on is Australia. They've been reporting a lot of UFOs. They've had a couple stories. One, it's raining UFOs down under, and another one called We're Being Invaded by NT News. That's Northern Territory News. So Australia has been getting a lot of sightings lately, which is kind of strange. I wonder what's going on down there. Then another one, Angela Joyner, who wrote for our magazine, had an article recently, so everybody go check that out. She's asking, can we handle the truth? And it's in Reporter News, and you could go to reporternews.com to check that out. It's Abilene, Texas's paper. So, and she's a Texan herself. If you remember her, she had a lot to do with Stephenville, Texas, and the sighting out there. She was the first one to write the article, which made national headline news. But we're going to go to break. We'll be back with Robert Salas, and we'll be talking about nuclear sites and UFOs, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Open Minds Radio with Alejandro Rojas on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. This is Alejandro Rojas, and today we have Robert Salas on, and I believe he is on the phone right now. He's a retired captain from the Air Force, and he's going to share with us his experiences at Minot and other exciting details. Robert, are you on the phone?
Yes, Alejandro, I'm here.
All right, great. It's good to hear from you again. It's always a lot of fun talking to you. Another one of my favorite people in the field.
Thank you.
So let's get into your experiences at Minot and when this happened, and maybe just get into the details of how this all started.
Let me just correct you. It wasn't Minot. It was Malmstrom Air Force Base.
Oh, Malmstrom.
I was stationed there from 1967 to 1969. I'm sorry, 1966 to 69. The incident happened, this is a change from what's in my book, but the incident that I was involved in happened in March 24th of 1967. Real briefly, I was on duty as a missile launch officer. I was down in a capsule 60 feet underground in control of 10 nuclear missiles. There were two of us down there, my commander and myself, and we had about six guards upstairs. Got a call from one of the guards early in it was dark out, let's put it that way. It could have been late at night, early in the morning. I'm not sure about the time. Of course, we're 60 feet under and no windows. The guard said that they'd been seeing some strange lights flying around and didn't make any noise. They were making very erratic maneuvers. They weren't airplanes, and they just wanted to report it. And I didn't know what to think about the call. I just kind of shrugged it off. And
did you kind of have a suspicion at least your own thoughts of what those might have been?
Well, yeah, of course. There had been reports in the newspapers for some time about UFO sightings in the area.
Oh, really?
Yes, as a matter of fact, in our book, we had made copies of those reports, those news reports, and put them in there leading up to our incident. So I even mentioned the word UFO to them. I said, "You mean like UFOs?" Hmm. And they just said they couldn't explain the lights. So I didn't think much of it, hung up. But within a minute or so later, he calls back, and this time he's screaming into the phone, obviously frightened, and says he's looking out the front window and seeing a glowing red object hovering just above the front gate. Mm-hmm. He's got all the guards out there with their weapons drawn and wants me to tell him what to do next. Oh, I didn't know exactly what I can't remember exactly what I said. I think I said something like, make sure nothing comes in. Then he hung up. He said one of the guards got injured. I went to tell my commander about these phone calls. He was taking a rest break. We had a little cot down there. As I was starting to tell him about the calls, all of a sudden we got a lot of bells and whistles go off in the capsule, which happens when there's a problem with any of the weapons. So we look over at the board. We have a display board down there, and all our missiles started going from a green go condition to a red no-go condition,
mm-hmm.
Which means they couldn't be used. They couldn't be launched while this object was still up there. I recall all our missiles went down. My commander recalls approximately eight of them going down. So
okay, at least a portion.
We have a little bit. What's that?
So at least a portion of them he still remembers went down.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He supports what I've got in my account in my book, Faded Giant. And by the way, let me just finish real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We go through our procedures. He calls the command post, which is back at Great Falls, Montana, at Malmstrom Air Force Base. We're about 100 miles away at a location near Lewistown, Montana. But he calls back and reports this incident, and they tell him, he turns to me and says, the same thing happened at another flight.
Wow.
Which later turned out to be, it turned out to be that was Echo Flight, and we were at Oscar Flight. But in researching this later on, I found out that Echo Flight went down on March the 16th, which is approximately a week before ours, and ours went down on the 24th. And the reason I'm sure about the date now is because of the other witnesses that have come forward since I wrote the book.
Okay. Now, you said... You said one of the guards got hurt. How did he get hurt?
Well, actually, he injured his hand trying to scale the fence.
So he kind of freaked out and tried to jump the fence and
exactly.
Got hurt.
We had barbed wire around the fence, and this is a very frightening experience.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely frightening. This is something way out of the ordinary. These guys had never seen before, and
Now, how close did they feel the object was?
I would say the object was, less than 100 feet away.
Wow.
The front gate is fairly close to the main building we had there, the security building. So,
it was pretty close to these guys.
It was fairly close. It was a pulsating, red, glowing object. I later confronted the guard when I got relieved that morning by the next crew, and he couldn't give me much more detail. He said he had a hard time distinguishing the object itself because of the glow of the light.
Mm-hmm.
Around it.
How long did they say the object stuck around?
Short period of time,
mm-hmm.
Probably a minute or so.
Okay. And that was during the time where the missiles went to their no-go state.
Exactly. Yeah, and they had no control. I got to emphasize, they had no ability to control the missiles from topside. We
mm-hmm.
had all the controls downstairs, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
It was a very secure facility, very reliable, this sort of thing. Missiles shutting down for no reason, no apparent reason. It was very rare. I was there for 3 years. Nothing like anything close to this ever happened while I was on duty there.
How long were the missiles in that state?
Well, they had to be brought up, back up to alert status. So because the main failure mode was guidance and control system failure. So the guidance package somehow was affected. So they had to have crews come out there and physically bring them back up.
Wow. So that must have taken a period of time, at least a few hours, if not, did it take more than a day or?
Probably at least a day, yeah.
Wow. So it took quite some time. So I'd imagine then that this incident was investigated.
Well, the Echo Flight incident was investigated.
Mm-hmm.
We were basically sworn to secrecy after we reported back to the base. We weren't even able to talk to the guards again,
wow.
or even ourselves. So I started talking about this in 1994 after seeing something in Timothy Good's book, Above Top Secret.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started getting documentation put together that I received under the Freedom of Information Act. And that's how we were able to get the information put in our book.
What were you told back then? Did they just mark it up as a malfunction?
We were literally told nothing.
Wow.
just
told, don't worry about it.
Exactly. We reported what we had as far as the incident, and we turned over our logs, the information we had, and we were told by a member of AFOSI, Office of Special Investigation for the Air Force, not to talk about it ever to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
There was what was unusual is that, you know, we were given briefings every morning. We went on alert about things that were going on out in the field about the technical aspects of the weapon system and any modifications they were doing and anything they were working on. I mean, it was a pretty thorough briefing we got. And like I said, I was there for another couple of years, and nothing was ever told to us about the ongoing investigation that was happening about this incident. They had quite a big investigation going.
Wow.
But we were never told anything about it.
How interesting. You know, we've got to go to a break here real quick, but then when we come back, we'll talk more about the investigation and, you know, what you found from the Condon investigation. So that ought to be really interesting and exciting to hear what you found. And we'll also then get into some of these other cases. I know a lot of people get Minot and Maelstrom mixed up, and I, because there was an interesting case that happened out there. And I'm usually really good at keeping those straight. I mess it up at the worst time ever. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Robert Salas right after this break.
This is Open Minds Radio. Here again, your host, UFO paranormal researcher and journalist, Alejandro Rojas.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. We have our guest, Robert Salas, retired captain from the Air Force, explaining really an incredible event that happened at Maelstrom Air Force Base back in the 60s when UFOs flew over and the nukes went into a no-go status. So I think were there any other details that you left out when you were going over what had happened at the Air Force Base, Robert?
No, I think I covered the basics. If anybody's interested in getting more details, they can go to CUFON.com, WWCUFON.com, and go to Special Reports link, and they can read up on the Maelstrom incident.
Great, and they can also get your book on Amazon.com. Faded Giant is the name of the book. Is there a website where you have that book also?
No, not yet.
Okay, so go to Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's get into the Condon report. You said you had, I explained earlier in the show what the Condon report was when the Air Force played the University of Colorado in Boulder, of which I'm an alumni, to go investigate UFOs.
Yeah.
And they pretty much kind of debunked the whole thing, and you went in to look into their study on your case, on the Maelstrom case.
Yes, I did. A couple months ago, I was able to get some notes of Dr. Roy Craig. Dr. Roy Craig was a member of the Condon team in charge of investigations, actually, of incidents. He heard about the Maelstrom shutdowns and that UFOs were involved from Ray Fowler back in 1967, I think it was August of 1967. So this was a few months after the incidents occurred. He actually visited Montana in October of 1967, armed with a lot of information, really, from Fowler, who had gotten the information as a result of him being working for Sylvania, who was a contractor for the electrical systems. But anyway, he had names, and he knew about the UFO reports, but was told UFOs were not involved. Excuse me. And he failed to... so I'll just go through this real briefly, because I have written this, an extended article on this. And again, if people that are interested in this can go to UFO Chronicles website, and they can read the complete report. But three things. Craig failed to follow up on interviewing witnesses like myself there was a report of the investigation, an Air Force report that was classified, but Dr. Robert Lowe, who was the assistant to Condon, had authority to view classified reports, but Lowe never followed up on that. And I've got this documented. And the third thing was that the Air Force did have classified reports of UFO incidents that were never included in Blue Book, that were excluded from review by the Condon Committee. So those three things, again, point to the facts that the Condon report was a whitewash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important for us? Because as a result of that report, the Air Force had claims that there's no reason to further investigate UFO reports, that there's no national security interest, and they basically stopped investigating, officially, of course.
Right. So, and I would imagine you feel that even with the Maelstrom Air Force shutdown, those were investigated by the Air Force, and possibly, if not probably, UFO incidents are still researched by the Air Force, just not publicly.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no question about that. No.
And there have been other incidences, like you said, the Echo flight, and I know you work with Robert Hastings, who's found many other instances of UFO events having to do with nuclear sites.
Yeah, Robert Hastings has written a book, as you know, called UFOs and Nukes, and he's documented quite a few incidents with UFO sightings around nuclear facilities. Again, this nuclear weapons facilities, and also at nuclear test sites, and where nuclear material is being made, such as Hanford in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He's got quite an extensive accumulation of witness testimony in that book. I highly recommend that one also. But now that you bring that up,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to mention the press conference that we've got planned.
Right.
We've got a press conference that's all set for this year, September the 27th, in the afternoon at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. We're going to bring together a group, hopefully 10 to 12, eyewitnesses to UFO incidents, specifically at or near nuclear facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to focus on this because I think, for example, my incident was simply a message that we need to take seriously eliminating our nuclear weapons here because and I think with the latest emphasis by the current administration to start a arms limitation treaty with the Soviet Union, which still needs to be ratified, by the way,
mm-hmm.
is an indication that it's nuclear weapons are not a strong deterrent, and they simply add too much of a danger to destroy the planet, basically.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, how scary is that, especially back? I can only imagine, you know, you hear about this when you were a kid, how people used to live in the 60s and, you know, showing the films of the duck and cover with the nuclear, just living under the fear of a nuclear war when, like Carl Sagan had research had shown, something like 60 of those nukes from back then, which aren't even as powerful as what we have now, would cause a nuclear winter, which could kill all life on the planet.
Exactly. So, anyway, we're going to focus on that issue in particular. We are going to try to ask for donations to
mm-hmm.
Support this effort. And if anybody wants to donate, they can go to UFOHastings.com and follow the link to the page where it talks about the press conference. So I just wanted to get that in.
Yeah, UFOHastings.com. You know what? I'll put some more information on our website about this stuff because that's extremely important. I mean, these people are very credible. Obviously, you know, you're not alone as a retired Air Force officer in these experiences.
Absolutely not. And it does take a bit of, you know, courage to get up there and talk about these things, especially mm-hmm. since for a lot of these people, they've never spoken about this in public. I've been speaking out about 14 years on this now, but many of these people have not.
Now, did you start talking? Was it the Disclosure Project where you started talking about this?
Actually, I started talking on when I went on sightings, and I believe that was in
1995. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that, and what a great television program that was. I have a lot of the UFOs. I think I have a whole collection of the UFO stories that they had covered, but how important it was and what a great job that they had done with this subject. Well, we got to go to break again, so we'll be back soon. And I want to get more into talking about the motives, why you think these UFOs are flying around the nuclear sites. So we'll be back with retired Captain Robert Solis on Open Minds Radio.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. Here now, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network, your host of Open Minds Radio, Alejandro Rojas.
Welcome back. This is our last segment for the show, which is a bummer because this is such a great conversation. But I should tell people, you can call in if you like. If you're in the Phoenix metro area, that's 602-277-5369. If you're outside of the area, the toll-free is 1-866-536-1100. And then those of you in the chat, you know, feel free to ask a question. Remember, you can watch us live and chat with us during the show at openminds.tv as well. I wanted to ask you, Robert, and I think you touched on it a minute ago, but just kind of focus on this subject particularly, which is why you think these UFOs have been visiting these nuclear sites.
Let me try to answer that with an interesting story, which is also in my book. But one of the men that went out to bring the missiles back up, this was at Echo Flight, told me this story, and he hasn't decided to come forward yet. So I'm just relating the story, and I'll just call him Mr. X. But he was down inside the missile silo when one of his guards, and he was working on bringing the missiles back up to alert status. One of the topside guards motioned for him to come back up topside. And so he walked back up the ladder and takes a look, and sure enough, here's this orange ball that's hovering near the site. For some reason, he decides to go back straight down. The guard was scared to death. But he goes straight back down and returns to bring the missiles back up to alert. And he's going through his procedures, and when he reaches a particular point in his procedure, the missile shuts down again. And he repeats this over and over, and he told me that he felt almost like a rope of energy coming down the tube and somehow interfering with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. The reason I tell this story, and by the way, this guy is hugely credible. He's very high up in an aerospace company, and that's why he can't come forward at this time. But I tell that story because these objects, and we can argue about where they come from or what they are, but they know exactly how our systems work. They knew exactly how the missile systems work and were able to shut this thing down, you know, whenever they wanted, in great detail. So I think they just demonstrated that they could do that to us, and that's why they shut our missiles down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 10 at Echo Flight on March 16th, another 10 at Oscar Flight on March 24th. It was a demonstration by them that they could do this, and it, basically a message. I take it as a message, and of course this is just my own take on it.
Right.
And the message was, get rid of your nuclear weapons, or you're going to just destroy the planet a lot faster than you're already doing it.
Yeah, I used to think, you know, fantasize around, hopefully, you know, to me, I think it's almost incredible that we've had these nukes around for so long and really haven't used them on each other that often, that we got through the Cold War, and of course we have our problems with North Korea and all that now, but I think that maybe they're turning them off. They've tried to been used, but they've been turned off. That would be nice, and hopefully be nice if they did say, you can't use them, just turn them off whenever we try to use them. But who knows? But it is interesting. I think, you know, you guys are touching on something very important, because the whole beginning of, you know, modern ufology began sort of, well, it didn't, Roswell didn't get popular till the 80s, but still, Roswell was an important aspect, and a lot of people feel that policy was beginning to be built around this subject due to Roswell, but that was also a nuclear site, of course, not very far from the Trinity location where nukes were discovered and built in the first place.
That's right. Yeah, Roswell Air Force Base was the 509th bomb wing, was the only bomb wing in the United States that had nuclear bombs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Have you been able to meet with some of the Roswell witnesses, and such as maybe Jesse Marcel Jr.?
I have not. I've, of course, met Don Schmidt, who wrote a book on Roswell, and has done a lot of research on that.
You probably have, or I'd assume that since you've been in this field, because you have gone around now and done some lectures and gone to some of these conferences, met some other convincing people, people that you feel are compelling and have an incredible story related to this subject. I was wondering, who might some of those people be?
Related specifically to
UFOs?
Shutdowns?
Or shutdowns. Yeah, either one.
I keep an open mind about all of the stories I hear. Of course, I just came back from Laughlin. You were also there, and and I was amazed at the reports that I heard there. I'm trying to think of anybody in specific that.
Laughlin. There's certainly a range of some of the stuff that's a little hard to swallow. Pretty. You know, unconventional, and then, you know, all the way to people like Wendell Stevens, who was in the Air Force for a long time, or others that have stories that are a little similar to yours, where it's a little more enigmatic, but something that was witnessed by a lot of military people.
Yes, and of course, I've talked to other military people. We talked to many, many military people I was helping Robert Hastings with his book and some of the research, and also the research that James Klotz. By the way, I would like to mention the work that James Klotz did. He's the investigator that worked on our story, and he's just an outstanding investigator. He's the co-author of Fated Giant.
The Rendlesham Forest. I wanted to ask you about this. Some people debate that. Rendlesham Forest was an important one, where there were a lot of the UK released some files where there were servicemen, because it shared, there's an American base there, and they saw a UFO there, and James Peniston was a gentleman who went and actually possibly touched this thing. There are some rumors, because Bentwaters isn't supposed to be a nuclear site, but there are rumors that perhaps it is. Do you know anything about that debate?
Well, I did. I don't think I'm saying anything out of school here, but I did write to Colonel Halt and asked him if the object that he saw hovered over a nuclear storage facility, and he confirmed that he thought it did. I can relate another story that out of Aviano Air Force Base, Italy.
Oh, great.
And this... let's see, I'm trying to remember, happened probably in the late 70s. is a NATO airbase and had nuclear weapons stored at the base. And there were confirmed witnesses, a couple of them, that told about an object flying over the weapons storage area and actually shining a beam of light over the storage area. This is documented. Actually, MUFON has documented this in one of the magazines. I get the information also from Jerry Rawls. I don't know if that name means anything to you, but Jerry Rawls was head of MUFON in the state of Washington for a period of time, he actually interviewed the witnesses for this and wrote an extensive article about it. But there again, nuclear weapons, UFO comes over, shines a light on them, and flies away. I mean, it's just a message. Mm-hmm. It was nothing more than that. I mean,
I think that's one thing that we can definitely grasp. I mean, this field is so enigmatic in what they're doing, who they are, what's going on, but I think that is one thing that we can definitely really get a hold of, is that there's a definite interest in our nuclear sites. I mean, you've documented that, and so has Hastings, yes, which is really interesting.
Yeah, Hastings also has witnesses that were at nuclear test sites. I don't want to take away his thunder, because I think you may want to have him as a guest later on.
Yeah.
But,
well, we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show. UFO and Nukes is Robert Hastings, but you can get Faded Giant, which is Robert's book on this subject, and you also talked about getting information on the press conference at ufohastings.com. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you on in the future, and thanks for all of your support and everything you've done in the being so brave to come out and talk about this.
By the way, I just signed up for Open Minds magazine.
I'm
excited about that.
It's a great magazine, so hopefully you'll like it. And actually, you wrote a review in our second issue.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
So it was a great review on the Phoenix Lights documentary that they had on TV the other day. So thanks for that. I want to tell people we're going to have Michael Luckman, remember, Rock Stars and UFOs next week. That is Monday at 9 p.m., so just a few days ago. From now, we'll be on the air again with Michael Luckman. It'll be a lot of fun. So listen in, and thanks for listening to Open Minds Radio.
I keep forgetting the smell.